Jesus' name, amen. We do find ourselves at the Lord's table today. We're going to be using the text out of Philippians chapter 4 as our backdrop to give us an opportunity to see into this world of faithfulness. What does that really mean? What does it look like? Or how did Paul share this message of faithfulness to his early congregation, to his friends, to his co-workers? And he starts out in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, and one of the main points that you get out of verse 1 is he says, I want you to stand firm. It's not about blowing around with every wind of doctrine that may come your way. It's not about having that time in your life where if things get tough, you just sort of shrivel up and sort of move with one current or another. He says, stand firm. He's talking to people that he has learned to love and share life with. He says, I have found the connection to God mainly through the connection with others, and we need to stand firm together. In verse 2, he gets very personal. He calls out people by name. Now, sometimes we get a little scared when people call us out by name. Angel, I didn't mean to scare you a minute ago when I said your name for prayer. Sometimes, what am I being called out for? Well, we've got two ladies, and he says, I give you an assignment. And they need to take this in their own thinking, and they need to agree in the Lord together. Now, we Baptists, I've said this many times, you get two Baptists together, you're going to have three different opinions. I don't even know how that's possible. That doesn't work out in math. But I don't know. Udiah and Syntyche must have been our early Baptist sisters. And he's speaking to these ladies that he loves. And he says, please get along. Please get along. You are being faithful in so many things in your life, but you actually have to act civil to the one that you love the best or the ones that you know the longest. Please agree. And he follows that up in verse 3. He says, and this is how you do it. You have to help each other. Faithfulness is not found by us taking on the world by ourselves. It has to be lived out in community. He mentions another person by name in that process. And he says, I want you to work with Clement as well. All of those others that are out there laboring for the Lord. Udiah and Syntyche and Clement, they are all my brothers and sisters. And we have the privilege of not only agreeing with one another, but then coming along beside and making sure things get done. And at Philippi Baptist Church, I have seen this over and over again. We can do far more together than we can apart. And whenever an assignment comes up, Cheryl Wolf and Sarah Ferguson can tell you about how Vacation Bible School happens here every year. And they don't just snap their fingers and it magically happens. It happens because somebody, along with a bunch of other somebodies, get together and say, we're going to do this. And we do it together. So how does that look then? Where does our faithfulness live out? And then he continues that in verse 4. He says, we get to rejoice in the Lord. Eddie was coming today to help us with praise and worship, and he said, hey, you know what? I've got this song. He says, I think it might just fit really well with what we're doing. So we used it for our gathering music today. It was a beautiful tribute to the idea that we are to rejoice together. We get to praise together. There are some 25,000 young adults that will be gathering down in Atlanta again at the first of the year. They call it the Passion Conference. And they've tried the big stadium there where the Atlanta Falcons play, and that's fine, but it's really hard to book that facility. So they've had to split it up into a couple different venues and just use the Peterson Arena, where they can only get about 25,000 in at one time. But it is an amazing opportunity to hear God's people lifting their voices together in praise. That is our privilege. Verse number 5 is a little interesting. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. What in the world is he trying to get at with the early church there at Philippi? The way we present the gospel sometimes, it might even seem too much. Or it might seem, well, I can never measure up. I could never live up to this standard. Hebrews has a great opportunity to give us a word on how the law is a wonderful reminder for us of how we can never measure up to God's grace. And so Paul is encouraging this early church, always be reasonable when you present the gospel. Be reasonable with one another. I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to have it all together until I see Jesus. But in the meantime, the reasonable request is, I want to always go to the one that is. I always want to let God lead in those times when I know I can't. And to share our reasonable requests as we go and represent Him. And that's how he finished verse 5. He says, the Lord is at hand. A reasonable request is never to point anybody to ourselves, but to always point them to the one that we serve. Now, verse 6, he could have left this one out all the way around. Why does this have anything to do with faithfulness? He tells us not to worry, or don't be anxious. Are actually the words in the English Standard Version. Don't be anxious. God is telling me, in order to be faithful, I can't worry, but that's something I can do. I feel like I'm productive. I'll just carry it all and worry about all the different scenarios that may or may not happen. I'll just take that all on, and that's something I can do. And Paul says, would you please just put that all down? Just set it over here. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. He's not leaving us with a void. He's not just saying, don't worry and don't do anything. He says, don't worry, but pray. Leave things to me. Every time something comes up and you're trying to figure out the solution, you bring it to me. This is a sign of your faithfulness. So what's the result then? Where does that lead? As we stand firm, agree in the Lord, help each other, rejoice in the Lord, be reasonable with our requests as we share the good news, as we don't worry, where does that lead us? Verse 7 says, the peace of God will guard your heart and minds. He says, this is the deal. God's peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And I can't guard my heart or my mind on my own. Left to my own devices, I give away my heart in wrong directions. My mind ends up where it should not be. But I leave that to God and allow His peace to bypass, to go around, to speed by on the fast lane and go beyond what I can understand in Christ Jesus. Now, He leaves us with a few things on our to-do list. And I was thinking, okay, if there were seven, then we could actually take one for each day of the week and sort of have something we can hold on to. There's eight, so I don't know what you're going to do with that. Maybe the last one you just do all the time. He rattles off all kinds of things. He says, if you want to be investing your time, try out these things. Give these things a shot. You're going to be spending your time doing something. If you want to see what faithfulness looks at like, faithfulness is lived out through thinking on these things. Whatsoever things are true, the next one to fill in, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, we can fill in lovely, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are commendable, of excellence, and then ultimately worthy of praise. He rattles these things off. He says, these are the things we need to be investing our life in. They're all signs and marks of what faithfulness continues to look like. And every one of these has an opposite, right? The opposite of truth is false or a lie. The opposite of being honorable, dishonorable, or not always on the up and up, right? Just, unjust, pure, impure, right? Or, you know, not being in the category of lovely, unlovely. I can be unlovely at times with my words and my actions. Commendable, uncommendable, of excellence. The status quo. Or doing things just to get by, or just enough. Well, this will be enough. Paul says, everything that we do, may we do it of excellence. May we live our life worthy of praise. So he goes through the list. He gives them an opportunity to see and to experience ways in which we can be faithful. And then in verse 9, he says, and I want you to circle the word practice. Faithfulness involves practice. We had a great discussion in the car last night about what is the proper medicine for allergies. What a great conversation to have, right? So we had that with the boys, and we had heard that singular, sometimes, one of the side effects is that you're on edge all the time, that there even can be fits of rage. Well, singular works better in some areas, right? But then maybe it's not the best thing for all situations, or maybe Zyrtec's a little bit better. And I said, that's why they call it the practice of medicine. They do not call it the science of medicine, do they? We call it the... And why is that? It's really about trial and error. It's about continuing. Thank goodness somebody along the way picked up some molded bread and said, you know what? There might be some use for this, right? We're thankful for penicillin, although I'm allergic to it, but that's okay. I mean, there's erythromycin is a wonderful thing. The Z-Pak is the way to go if you've got... Anyway, they had to practice. Well, Paul says, here's your practice. I want you to do it in many ways. I want you to practice as we learn, as we receive, as we hear, and as we see. He says all of those things as he's finishing up this particular verse. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And I'm glad Paul recognizes that he did not arrive yet either. And it's not that he's got it all put together, and so you have to imitate what he's doing. But he's saying, I want you to imitate my attempts. I want to be in this together where we learn and we receive and we hear and we see together. And that can only happen if you're in close proximity. Now, we can do some of those over video. We can do some of those over audio. But there is something about being together as we learn and receive and hear and see. And ultimately, what is the result? He says it again. It's an echo from what we've heard in verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, that is verse 7. Okay, yeah. And the God of peace will be with you. Faithfulness is demonstrated in our life because God continues to show up. There's that great word that we can use for Jesus. It's one of his titles that was given from the prophecy of old. We love to use it around Christmas time. It means God with us. Anybody know what that word is? Emmanuel. What a great word. As we recognize what it truly means. God is with us. And so that is our privilege today. As our ushers come forward and we prepare with the singing of Come to the Table, it is the opportunity for us to gather as a sign of our faithfulness to the Lord around His table today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that we can have a message on faithfulness. That Paul spoke it into the early lives of those that he loved, and he recognized the issues and the situations that he found himself in. And Lord, we find ourselves in similar situations and issues, realizing that all that we do needs to point to you, that we need to live out our life at a place of faithfulness, that we are to be investing our time and our energy in things that bring fruit, in things that are productive, and that we do that in community together as we continue to practice one with another. We practice this amazing love that we have experienced as we are connected with you. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.